So Ruth is one of my favorite books, and it only shows up once in the entire 3-year lectionary cycle. So today we're going to talk a little bit about Ruth, about that Old Testament lesson that we heard today. But here's the funny thing. I mean, it's only 4 chapters long. It doesn't take that long to hear the whole story, and even more if you want to read it when you get home. I guarantee you it'll probably take you more time to find where it is in the Bible than it will take you to actually read all 4 of those chapters. But the story is actually, it starts and begins not with a woman named Ruth, but with a woman named Naomi. Naomi, whose name means sweetness, and turns out perhaps is named rather ironically. You see, Naomi has a husband and 2 sons, sons named Mahlon and Chilion. Now, if you're thinking of names for children, do not go with Mahlon and Chilion. They're not really, they don't really roll off the tongue, first of all, but even more in Hebrew, they mean diseased and dying. It's not really great names to give to your children. And as you might be able to guess, Mahlon and Chilion don't last too long in the verses. Now, I have to say, while I make a joke about that, my uncle was named Mahlon. And that was, he was 6'4" and 280 pounds, and he was fine. He was neither diseased nor dying, but he did just great. Had a long, happy, and joyful life and was quite robust. But Mahlon and Chilion are not names you want to name your children. Now, we learn very quickly that, sort of indirectly, I guess you might say, that maybe Naomi's family is not the most faithful Jewish family that ever lived. You see, while she and her husband are both faithful Israelites, her sons choose to go to Moab and marry Moabite women, which, if you don't know the laws of Moses, is actually strictly forbidden. You're not allowed to marry a person from Moab, male or female. They're terrible people. They're horrible folks. And they are unclean, and no Jew should marry a Moabite. And yet Mahlon and Chilion marry 2 lovely young girls, one named Ruth, the other named Orpah, O-R-P-A-H. If that sounds sort of familiar, it's because a young woman's mom spelled it wrong and spelled it O-P-R-A-H. And that's where Oprah got her name, is from the book of Ruth as well. But Orpah and Naomi and Ruth are doing just fine with their husbands until, no surprise, diseased and dying, and their father-in-law all, well, get diseased and sick and die. And so you end up, instead of having a big happy family, you end up with Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah alone in the world without pretty much anything to live on. In the ancient world, women could own property. There's records of that. But by and large, it was a male-dominated world. Men owned everything. They had control of everything. And when they died, pretty much it looks like they left Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah destitute. They had nothing. And so after they try and get along for a while in Moab, doing the best they can, Naomi finally gives up and says, I quit. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go home to my people and see if they won't take better care of me. And so you have a great moment in that 2nd or 3rd chapter of Ruth where they begin to travel back to Israel. And Naomi is there, and Orpah and Ruth are following. And Naomi turns and says, y'all got to go back. You go back to your people. I'm going to go back to my people. We'll see if we can't just start over and find ourselves a new life one way or another. Orpah agrees. She says, oh, you're right, this is too hard. She hugs both the women. There's a tearful farewell, and she goes back home. And Naomi again turns to Ruth and says, okay, now you go home. Go to your people. And then Ruth breaks out into song, because that's what you do, right? You break out into song. She breaks out into what is called the Song of Ruth, and she sings this beautiful song where she says very clearly, where you go, I will go. Where you are buried, I will be buried, and your God will be my God. It is a beautiful prayer and embrace between folks that aren't supposed to embrace. And I'm not purely talking about between an Israelite and a Moabite. I'm also talking about between a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. Those are not the most common bonds. And yet here it is in Scripture, two folks holding on tight in a difficult situation. And it is said there, Naomi says, "Thank you for this loving kindness that you have shown me," which in Hebrew is hesed, H-E-S-E-D. Hesed, which means loving kindness, that's one way to translate it, but it could probably better be translated sacrificial love, because after all, that's what she's doing. I mean, Ruth is not purely just sort of showing some kindness to her mother-in-law. She's giving up everything. She's sacrificing her whole life and identity to go with her mother-in-law to a foreign land. That's more than just kindness. It's a love of sacrifice. So they make it. They go back to this place. Hopefully you all have heard of this place, Bethlehem. Hopefully that sounds familiar. They make it to Bethlehem, a little town in Israel, and they do the best they can. They are in a situation where they are two women who are not really known in the community, and so they are left to have the gleaning from the field. That is, during the harvest season, all the rich landowners take the main center parts of the land, but they leave strips along the edges to care for the poor. The gleaning is where our tithe idea comes from. It's having, we're all blessed with a great deal, so we leave the edges to those who need them, intentionally letting them be out there for others. So Naomi and Ruth live on the gleanings. They do the best they can, living in a very marginal state, limping along, doing all that they can do, until Ruth one day meets a nice man, Boaz, who happens to be the owner of this place. And it's in that context, finally, we get to our reading today, where Naomi and Ruth plot to, well, seduce old Boaz. They come up with what I have to consider to be one of the more awkward plans ever. It's pretty much like, just wait until he's good and drunk, wait until he's been eating and drinking, and then go visit him and say hello. And it's funny, people will read this passage and they'll just sort of accept it on face value, and they'll say, she says, go and uncover his feet and then you'll get married. I don't know about you, but if anybody uncovers my feet when I'm cold and I've got a blanket on, that's about the last, marriage is the last thing that's coming next. If someone yanks the blanket off of me, that's really not, yes, this is wonderful. Here's the thing, in the Old Testament, feet are not feet all the time. It is a euphemism for another part of the male anatomy. Now, I have to be clear about in the Old Testament. I was telling this story one time and explaining it to folks, and this one gentleman got white as a sheet and was very worried, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Then what was Jesus washing at the Last Supper?" And I said, no, those were feet. Those were feet. Old Testament, New Testament, different things. I can't believe I just went there. I've been here like 5 days in a row. I probably should not have told that joke, sorry. But Boaz is enamored with Ruth. Everything goes well, and they do get married. And here's the thing, you have to recognize that Boaz is also taking a risk with this woman. She's lost her husband already. She is a widow. She is destitute, so she has nothing to bring to the relationship. And even more, finally, she's a Moabite. She is a foreigner. Boaz is no more supposed to marry her than, well, Mahlon was supposed to marry her, and yet he does. And again, it is reckoned as hesed, and that word shows up over and over again, not just here, but also in the Psalms. It shows up over and over again because it's this idea that love, hesed, shows up in ways where we give of ourselves, we sacrifice, we make huge dedicated promises to each other. Hesed is not simply just loving kindness. It's this idea that, well, the world is made a better place when we're willing to make sacrificial love for each other. Not just oh, sentimental, isn't it? Wonderful love, but love that's willing to say, I'm going to leave my people and follow you into a new place. Love that says, I'm willing to marry a Moabite and help her family and her and perhaps start a new relationship and a new way of being. It is a way of saying that here are boundaries and I've chosen to, through love, find ways to cross them because love is more important than the rules all the time. Hesed is important because the story of Ruth is not simply about, well, Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. They get married, Boaz and Ruth, and they have a son, Obed, who has a son, Jesse, who has a son, David, king of the Jews. And we say, well, that's nice. That's a good story about King David. But it doesn't end there even. That hesed, that loving kindness that ultimately is local people caring for each other in deep love with each other, brings forth the king of Israel. But then in Matthew's gospel, he goes through and puts in the lineage and makes sure not just to list Obed, who is the son of Boaz, but includes Ruth in the story as well. Ruth is included in the genealogy that then leads to Jesus. Matthew's theology is clear. It's this idea that hesed, that love, ends up being the thing taken locally, brings forth Jesus into our very midst. God is brought near through sacrificial love, for people being willing to care for each other in a deeper way, to push the boundaries and the rules, because caring is, loving is more important. The story of Ruth, then, is a story that is our story. A story of, hopefully, how in our daily lives we try to reach out and care for the people around us, sacrificially, wholly, completely. And when we do that, God is brought near. Maybe literally and maybe figuratively, but either way, God is brought close. And it's only in this way that God is brought close. The story of Ruth, of hesed, of loving kindness, is just all of that. God loving us, drawing us near, and inviting us to love and risk it all in the process. If we can do that, then indeed we'll understand the story of Ruth. And indeed in that, we'll understand and start to see the face of God. Amen.